Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we support entrepreneurs to take bold, clear steps to start business, get unstuck, or grow with clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And now this has become a guiding question in my life and business. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I coach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. Let's dive into Why Not Today podcast that brings or that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And just FYI, we don't edit these podcast episodes because I want to be real and raw and just a conversation. And I'm excited to have my guest, Madeline McMahon, again for the second time. And if you saw her the first time, it was quite an interesting podcast because we actually did a spa session with charcoal mask on our face while we were talking and talking about being vulnerable. And she's here today as an AI expert. We're going to talk a little bit about her business and the ups and downs. And she's worked with lots of other businesses, but also she's going to help us with some AI. And so if you're listening to this, we're recording in August 2025. But if you're listening to it probably in December or February, it's going to be different. And you're going to say, "What are they talking about? That's so old school." But we're going to start here. So, Madeline, welcome to the Why Not Today podcast again.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is how to use AI.
Yes, I know you get very excited. So, before we start, tell us a little about you, your business, or your how you got started.
Yeah. So my name is Madeline McMahon. I work in marketing and business development. I typically work with people that are kind of in the do-it-themselves phase, do-it-yourself, boots on the ground marketing efforts, or small business teams that just hired an entry-level employee into their marketing space. So I work a lot with marketing and a lot with systems and strategy.
And she is so good at what she does, and she thinks so outside the box. And I didn't take any Advil today, but I usually take some to because she makes my head spin. So before we get into your journey, what does courage mean to you?
When I think of courage, I think of my favorite quote, which is "Be brave, choose the mess." Right? Neat and tidy is not where our magic lives. Be brave, choose the mess. So I like to think of that mantra when I'm trying to be courageous.
Love that. And that is just so true. All right, so you've had your business how long?
Just over 3.5 years now. I have been in the fractional kind of freelance contract space. I've had a couple of clients that I've stayed with longer than others, but I'm primarily your short-term part-time strategy help for your marketing needs.
Somebody shared the other day, and this kind of clicked with people in the room because I understand what fractional is, but people just look like bewildered. I think you're the first person that said it to me, but she's like, "I work with different people and you get a fraction of me." I'm like, "Oh, that's a good way to describe it." And of course, your email is beer pays the bills.
Yes.
Oh,
And to be fair, I did not come up with fractional. It's been around for a long
I know.
time. I actually find fractional in the financial space is a much more commonplace term for even over a decade. I think it's the basic concept that you can't afford the six-figure salary, but you need the tenure and the experience outside of just what AI can do for you in your marketing needs. So,
Yeah.
yep, that I'm providing a fraction of the services. And in my case, typically a sense of direction so you can better invest your marketing budget or quantify when you're budgeting with your own time.
So smart. So, what is one thing you wish you would have known before you started your business?
That is such a great question. And it's interesting because I find myself talking about that a lot in year three. I find
Okay.
myself talking a lot about what I've learned in my industry and from my peers primarily. My background before entrepreneurship was a little more corporate. I worked in an apartment complex. And so I'm familiar with systems. I come from a background of SOPs and budgets and things like that. So, what shocked me about the real world when I got out here is very few people are actually doing it themselves in the marketing space. There is a lot more white labeling and a lot more third-party vendor than I was expecting. And that's fine. What surprised me is the lack of transparency. And I've seen several clients really be burned by over-promising and under-delivering, specifically from marketing vendors. There's a lot of glass shattering in that. Not only in that it exists, but in appreciating that I'm overcoming those objections and those obstacles anytime I talk to a prospect. People have been so burned by marketing and marketing dollars, they don't really know what to do with themselves or how to know if something is a good investment. So that's been a huge shift.
Marketing's so big. And
it
I think
is.
You make it simpler, or just you work with people where they need instead of, I heard somebody say the other day, you should never have a marketing budget because you'll spend everything in it. But what do you need money for, you know, if you have a budget this much and give it to a firm, they're going to spend that whether you need it or not.
Oh gosh, a budget is so much more than an allowance, right? It's the accountability of the expenses. It's not just money in an account to invest, right? And that's part of it. And so I think the other thing that I appreciate now that I've been in business for a while is you hear that we can't be good at everything. Truly, very few people are actively great at everything. And marketing means a lot of different things these days. It's tough to promise you can be great at every opportunity and option within marketing. I wish we had a little more self-awareness as professionals.
Yeah, one thing I think I've heard recently about marketing, or, you know, just playing in the social space, is that consistency. You know, you don't just put something out there 1 month and then wait three. And I'm sure that makes a difference in the marketing world.
I think consistency is a great buzzword. I wish that we applied more consistency to our bandwidth than we did just execution ideas, right? Like if you can consistently show up once a week, yeah, do it. But I think the consistency needs to be in what do you have the bandwidth for? Where can you show up? And then let's make sure that you're doing it and getting credit for it, right? I love to remind people we have to get credit for the effort that we're putting in, especially if we're solopreneurs. There may not be someone there to say, hey, good job, or you're done. How can we implement that ourselves? How can we use that to our advantage? So consistency is important, but we need to consistently acknowledge what we're capable of, and then we can better determine if something's working for us or not.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So the other question I've been asking people is, what are you so glad you didn't know before you started your business? Might have stopped you.
I am so glad I didn't know everything I know about AI. I am so glad that I spent the time and made the presentations, and because I'm a little removed from college, you know, I graduated a couple of years ago, and it's been a while since I've had to create my own discipline. Working in a corporate office, you have deadlines, you have budgets, things like that. Shifting to being a solopreneur, shifting into my own budget or into my own business, rather, I needed to make sure that I was truly understanding why I did stuff, right? So we know, we think we know we need contracts. We think we know we need proposals. We think we know we need budgets and timelines. But what did that mean for my business, right? Now I am able to use AI to save myself a lot of time, but I understand the time I'm saving because I spent so much time doing the work that first year, right? I may have found some templates, I may have been resourceful, but having to be resourceful, having to find things, knowing to make them my own, having the wherewithal, you know, all of that. I'm so glad I didn't have AI. And I hear that a lot about an entering generation in this new workforce and people that are new to using AI. It's really important to understand the mechanics before you can appreciate the tool, in my opinion, right? That's what keeps us from being lazy and, or the idea of getting lazy. And so that's one of the reasons I spend as much time as I can volunteering my knowledge about AI, because it challenges me to keep me fresh. Every time I teach someone something about AI, it requires that I have the investment in not just autopilot, right? Am I thinking about the prompt? Have things changed since the last time I told someone this trick or this tool? So teaching AI has been fundamental in me really using it as a tool. And I'm so glad it didn't exist day one, because I think I'm a better business owner for it, for having had to do a little bit more of that work at the start.
Yeah. Somebody said on my podcast recently, he's like, being an entrepreneur is the most powerful or most effective personal growth plan because you have to learn so much. And he said, if you're not willing to learn and grow, then don't. Because we have to learn so many things, and it's investing the time. And I've spent lots of time trying to learn different things and figuring out. And yeah, it does take time, and it's not fast. And you just said, you know, you've done this for 3 years, and it's like, all right, you're finally, you know, it's
really,
yeah, it takes time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that you're a great reference for that as well. The professional development is a really great commentary. It also takes time to create content around your business. You know, you're a coach. You also have to create all of the marketing collateral, the material that reminds us that you're out here, that helps us understand the story of what it would be like to work with you. So being an entrepreneur, I think, is also a wake-up call in that you may not get to only do what you love. You know, I didn't necessarily start my business because I had to be my own boss. I didn't start my own business because I had some unique product that no one else had. I started my business because I knew how I wanted to spend my day. I knew what I was capable of. And I had an idea of how to put those in an order that created opportunities. I think people that are very passionate about a product, you know, you brought up my email address, Beer Pays the Bills. We'll use that as an example. People who truly love crafting beer recipes and creating that liquid may not be naturally gifted in accounting or in staffing or in lease renewal negotiation, you know? So a way that I started sharing what I know on AI, specifically on how to like harness AI for marketing. What I've shifted to in the last 3 months or so actually is showing people how to harness AI to vet their vendors. Okay. Mm-hmm. You think you need a marketing strategy. Great. All right. Let's narrow that down. What do you think that means? Well, what if you asked AI, what if you told AI, I want 20 more people in my brick and mortar location this week? And then you have a conversation with AI about that. Well, maybe AI tells you that you need SEO, you need search engine optimization. Instead of asking AI to figure that out for you, what I'm coaching people to do, and I'm hoping you can learn and read in between the lines, is, okay, I think I need SEO. What would SEO do for my business if I invested? Have it give you an idea of what to expect. Okay, now that you've got an idea of what to expect, well, shoot, what should that cost me? Right. And then it's talking about maybe some budgeting components. And then once you've figured out, okay, I know I want 20 more people in the building, I'm willing to spend $20 a person. Okay. What does that look like if I hire someone to help me with that? And then you can ask AI to help you better vet your vendors. It is not necessarily going to give you the magic silver bullet that answers all of your questions, but it might help you more confidently approach an invest or a vendor that you're willing then to invest in. I think I've talked to over 100 people in the last year that would be willing to spend $100 if they knew that they would make 101 or whatever that formula is. Well, if we can build some confidence around getting there with AI, that's a great conversation starter.
All right. You always make my head spin, girl. And it just went spinning. All right. So, you know, it's interesting talking about just what you've learned in the last few months. You were a guest at my luncheon in February, and it seems like it was a lot longer than that. But you're going to be my guest again in August of 2025, and we're going to talk about AI, and that's what spurred the conversation here for a podcast episode. And so things have changed so much. So I was talking to a friend, I mentioned this before we started, yesterday, that she had no idea what to do with AI. She works in the school system, and yet sitting by the pool, I was able to coach her and help her. And then, you know, there's people that use it all day with everything, and there's got to be a balance. So what would you say, you know, I know prompts are important. What are you, you know, what are your tips and tricks and suggestions for, you know, both the person has no clue and the person that feels like they know too much, which I talked to somebody else this week and said she knew it all. I'm like, yeah, right. Now you had to get close to saying knowing it all, but you still don't know it all. And it changes every moment. So, and the question, the comment my friend had is, okay, why don't I just use Google? Is that going to do the same thing? And I'm like,
love that.
So well, how can you answer all those questions I just threw at you?
I think the one thing I want us to all have is curiosity. You don't have to know the right prompt if you have curiosity. When it comes to picking a platform, you know, now we have lots of shiny new tools, right? Not only are there different AI platforms we're told that can help us with, you know, creating social media content, things like that. I think the more we understand AI, the more we also understand it's integrated into other components of our lives. You know, their AI has been around for a lot longer than we realize. But when I'm thinking about someone who has no idea where to start, I recommend finding a platform you enjoy the user experience, whether you think the platform is prettier or you like the way it responds to your answers better. I don't think the magic is toggling between Gemini and Chat and Grok and all of those. I think truly the magic for most of us is finding a software that we enjoy using. The benefit to having a subscription, a benefit to signing up for that, whether it's $20 a month or $15 a month or even some free accounts, the benefit to investing in signing up is that that also puts you under different user agreements and terms and conditions and things like that. So when I picked ChatGPT, and it's been closer to 2 years than a year now, when I picked that, it was because my dad, who is a chief technology officer, told me he was using it and paying for it. That gave me just enough confidence that I felt okay giving it any information. And I've been using it so long now that I don't need the same prompt magic to get something accomplished. However, I sent you something very fun this morning on purpose. I have crafted my ChatGPT. It's on the 5.0, all the things. I'm using the different tools and things like that, but that doesn't mean it can't still be better. So in addition to finding a user experience that you enjoy, my second pro tip is it doesn't have to be just one tool. I don't want you to use 10. Come on, guys. Whew, there's a lot of options out there, but it's okay for it to be two or three. So for example, I knew I was going to ask Chat a question this morning about a newsletter for one of my clients. I was multitasking. That's a side conversation. But because I was multitasking, I went into my new favorite AI tool that is free. I did sign up for it, but I don't pay to use it. PromptCowboy.ai. PromptCowboy.ai. And I told Prompt Cowboy, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. And I pressed enter because I was multitasking. Not because I couldn't, not because I didn't want to. This is just an opportunity to use more than one tools. It created the prompt that I then put into ChatGPT that gave me something I was looking for much closer to being correct the first time. So sometimes I'll ask AI a question and I'll say, that's not exactly what I meant. Can you try this or include this information? Going to Prompt Cowboy first, I was able to brain dump. I was able to just word vomit what I was trying to accomplish. It organized it in a way that Chat understood what I meant when I asked it the first time. And I was
prompt cowboy do. What is the difference?
It is a prompt creator. Okay. It allows you to take your raw thought and it reorganizes that thought into something that Chat more intentionally understands. So not to get too nerdy, but if we think of words as tokens, what Prompt Cowboy does is it takes all of the words and it organizes those tokens in a way that the next computer can understand a little bit more intentionally, right? It kind of like streamlines it. Now, when you look at it, you can read through and see what it does for you and you can recreate that on your own. Does anyone need Prompt Cowboy? No. Do I use it every time I use AI? No. Was it a game changer this morning when I was trying to come up with a quick response and multitask? Yeah, it was great. I was able to get an answer in two iterations instead of asking three or four, you know? So the short version of that pro tip was, don't be afraid to toggle tools. I don't want you to get caught in having too many, but it makes sense to have a couple of different things that you're using either based on your working preference, the visual component of it, maybe it's the price point. And I do think it's smart to kind of keep an eye out with ever-changing options, but Prompt Cowboy, I came across doing social listening on Reddit, gave it a try. I've told 15 people about it at least that have signed up. I would love to see their Google Analytics. I would love to see their traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there a place, and just in my system's brain, and I figured out kind of a workaround, but is there a place in a chat or somewhere to save prompts that you use all the time? So like, for example, this podcast, I have a Google Doc that I just put stuff in for posting the podcast. So I literally take the transcript from my podcast and I have a script that I use or a prompt to help me create the show notes, things I want, don't want, the email that I send out. So, but I just have my Google Doc and I cut and paste over. Is there another thing that I could be doing or step in between, or is that the most efficient?
I'm going to use this as a chance to go back to another question you prompted earlier. What's the difference between just Googling it, right? So I would ask chat that question. Ask whatever AI system you're using. The short answer is yes, there are ways to do it, but it actually may recommend a different action based on your typical behavior. You know, if you're someone that responds to something one way versus another, it may give you instructions on how to implement that based on your typical behavior. Now, what's the difference between chat and Google? There's a lot of differences, but the short version is, I've talked about this a little bit before. Very few people were taught how to Google, right? Like I think back to like Ask Jeeves, right? That was kind of simple. You ask a question, you knew what that was going to look like. Google, you knew you could ask it anything, but it's not like there were instructions that said, put this in parentheses or use a period here for different results. Some of us figured that out through trial and error, through curiosity, but not everyone understands that. So chat is like Google, but it's holding you're holding its hand. You know what I mean? It does more to interpret what you're trying to accomplish. All these platforms are designed to give you what you're looking for. All of this technology wants to make the human happy so the human keeps using it. ChatGPT just has a different type of intuition, for a lack of a better term. You know, when the internet was first created, it was all of these different websites saying, hey, come to my website, you know, come spend money here, come spend money here. The consumer was at the mercy of the storefronts, right? Like you can't just navigate the World Wide Web. You have to go to a website, you have to have a question. ChatGPT AI is like having admission to a museum and then getting a curated guide. You know, instead of being at the mercy of what someone's selling you, you're able to better identify what your questions are, to better select vendors. Now, we're also seeing buzzwords about how search engine and optimizing search engine and things like that, that's a tomorrow conversation. I think before you can get there, it's important to understand what these different softwares and different technologies can do for you. You know, if I'm looking for a vendor near me, I'm still going to go to Google because Google Business Profile, because rankings, right, because things like that. If I'm looking for how to structure an email, I'm going to go to AI. If I'm looking how to reword an email, I might go to AI. Now, is that AI ChatGPT or is it Grammarly? Right? If you've been using Grammarly for 5 years and you were an early adopter to AI, keep using Grammarly. You know, there's no requirement to use Chat 5.0 to be successful. It's about being comfortable in the platform. It's about consistently finding places you have the bandwidth, right? It's not just about having instant answers and then having documents and documents of things. It has to be stuff that actually works for our business based on what we're trying to accomplish right now. And right, so where AI comes in, it can either help you vet your vendors or help you figure out where you are right now, you know? Yeah.
Well, my answer to Google was that I feel like when you go on Google, you're being sold because they're all the sponsors.
Yes.
And I shared the exact example one time. I was in a hurry and I wanted to print some pictures at Walgreens. So I Googled Walgreens photo, clicked on it, and then got an email from CVS that they just got my pictures. I'm like, how did that happen? So the Walgreens was six down from other places. So yeah, that's the one thing.
You know what I wish would happen with that? I wish more consumers had that experience and that aha moment, because I think that trust is another really interesting part of all of this conversation. You made a great point. People pay to be at the top of the page. pay to play doesn't mean best service, right? No. That's why we have those other spaces in the digital world that we can share opinions and experiences that get us more likely to work with a human that's going to be good to us. And now all of these businesses are racing to figure out how they can influence generative search results. But that also, it's also such a distraction too, because people have been using social media to search for a long time. So whether it's search engine optimization or Facebook engine optimization, or, you know, there's always been all of these different things. Now's not the time to panic and feel distracted. To your point earlier, AI is here. Right. Let's figure out how we can collaborate, how we can use tools to make smarter decisions and investments, you know, or find motivation and inspiration when we're not able to find it other places. You know, a question you also asked is, are you using it in business or in personal? There's also a whole other narrative about the impacts on personal relationships with AI and what we need to look out for as peers or parents or advocates of mental health and things like that. So it's a big space right now.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, being aware. And I think too, like I'm using it for technology things, like a question, like, how do I do this? And you go to Google and you're going to get, you know, buy this, get this, you know, all these things. But if you go to AI, like a simple thing, I'm like, oh, that was easy. You know? Yeah. So we
can, Google's working on that. Google yeah. wants you to stay with Google, right? So there, this to your, it's a moving target. You know, hold your breath. It'll change in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I think how small businesses stay sane in all of this, to tie that all back together, know where you can show up, be where you enjoy being, get credit for the work you're doing, right? Update your Google business profile if you're a brick and mortar. Take pictures at the networking event that you're attending. Those things do count. They may right. not be part of some magic formula. They may not land you 10 deals within the next 10 hours, but anyone listening, it moves the needle. It matters. Get credit where you can, and then pay attention to trends, you know, and if there is some magic bullet in 6 months, you've been putting your pennies to the side and you can put your dollar towards it, right? You know, that's just that for peace of mind.
People are paying attention to when you're showing up and you don't realize who's watching and who's paying attention. I've had so many instances recently. Literally, I was on a walk the other day. And this woman stopped and she goes, oh, we're friends on Facebook. Like, we have a mutual connection. And we went for a walk together and found out, you know, she's looking at starting a new business and looking for some coaching, like a random, because she knew somebody that connect, you know, just pay yeah. attention. You know, people are paying attention to us. You don't realize whose life you're influencing or what you're doing with being out there.
Mm. We're also, this is the first year that Gen Z is seeing roles in management. You know, I've got a 26-year-old brother that is a manager this year. So it's funny to see that yeah. in real time. But it's also, AI can also be a conversation tool. You know, if you're not sure if something seems cold or strange, or if you're worried that there isn't great tonality, you can also use AI as a sounding board for tone, context, and communicating with multiple generations. We're in this sandwich generation space. Imagine you have a report that needs to be completed, and you could go to AI and say, this is the report. This is the personality type I'm working with. This is the generation they fall in. Help me help them get buy-in, or help me sell the value of completing this task to this person. However you want to word it, you know, there it's the conversation starter. The tool is the conversation starter. The discipline is the self-awareness. And the real challenge comes with the accountability. Somebody's got to look, you know, you can't just talk about it. You got to be about it.
It makes stuff up too. We know that. The other day I did a call and I wanted to pull out description or a bio of each person based on how they introduced themselves. And I forgot to ask one person. She gave a little, but she didn't go into more detail. So I kept asking it like, no, I want Alyssa's information. And it was throwing me out all these other people's like that I've had on my podcast or like, no, what are you? And then I realized, oh yeah, I never really talked. So it was trying, I never really asked her those questions. So it was trying to make it up. Like you said, making humans happy. But something you just said with conversation, when you started the conversation subject, where my brain went, when you first started to talk about that, is how we need to be having more conversations, physical conversations with people. about AI and what we're using. And I think that's one of the things I'd love to do at the luncheon. And where that came from is after the Loudoun County Summit event that you and I think one of the most powerful part of that event was at the end, we were eating lunch at a round table. We probably had six conversations with four of us or eight conversations with three of us about just sharing ideas. And after, you know, you use this, use that. So afterwards I was with my sister at something and I was like, oh, I heard this and this. She's like, how do you find all that out? I'm like, because when I'm meeting with people and I'm talking to them, I'm like, what are you using it? Tell me your secret. Tell me, not your secret, but what have you found to be able to effective, or give me a question. And I think we need to be having more conversations to figure out what's out there and how to use it.
I think that's really valuable advice. I think the other thing I would love to encourage people is don't stress about capturing every little detail. It's good to just talk. You don't have to be taking notes to get the conversation started and make that connection. And Leslie, you're really great with that too. You know, I think, again, thinking of the entering workforce and some of these younger individuals that we're bringing into the conversation, they feel the pressure to remember every nugget, every opportunity. But be human, forget stuff. It's okay. Right? Well, that's just part of the process.
You know what? One trick, and I'm teaching a networking event tomorrow. I'm facilitating systems. And one system I've started using is when I'm at a listen to somebody present, and I am a note taker and I don't want to miss anything and I want to go back and I know I'm not going to remember it. So what I've started doing, and I had a guest at my lunch and I did this right before she started to speak, I opened up Zoom and hit record, put it upside down. And then I got the transcript from Zoom, put it in chat and said, give me the bullet points, give me the courage quotes, give me the, you know, my action items from, and I've done it with podcasts, other people's podcast episodes. Cause like I'm walking, I'm like, oh, I want to remember this. And I'm able to put it in and get the information out.
So even this in the last 3 months or so, again, we both use Zoom. We're on Zoom right now. I also have a Zoom account and there's an AI companion with Zoom. Now, even if I meet with a client in person, I keep Zoom. I just turn the camera off. I turn the AI companion on and it will capture an audio transcription of our meeting that I'm able to then send them as a follow-up. It has been really helpful.
Does it do it without turning it on?
I don't think it automatically does it. I think you have to prompt it to do it. So I just got a notification that you turned on AI companion. Yeah.
But I do get the transcript, which is automatic, but I think it does some of this, but I get an email if I turn the AI on.
Now, I want to say something as a disclaimer, because again, we have an audience here. So it's important that someone knows they're being recorded, right? Definitely. This is not a trick tool, things like that. No. And it's not a perfect tool. Not all transcriptions are going to be perfect. It's always important to review the data and information. And it's not perfect in that sometimes you can think it's on and it's not. So I have definitely had an instance where I was so sure I turned it on and I was relying on that transcription. And I just, it for whatever reason, didn't catch. Oh, actually, I think what it was, I was in a rush and I closed my laptop instead of leaving the meeting first, instead of ending the meeting. And I think that in that just quick action, I lost the whole transcription. So again, tools, they are ways for us to be better, not things that eliminate us from having to work or pay attention or, you know, things like that. So,
yeah. So agree with you. All right. Well, we could go on forever and ever, but we're going to cut this off. Any last minute thoughts, ideas you want to share? Or obviously I'll share how to get in contact with you, with anybody that wants you. What's the best place? You're an Instagram girl.
Instagram, when I'm supporting small businesses as a patron, LinkedIn is a really great place to find me if you're actually looking to have a conversation. I think the only other plug I'll make, I'm reading a really good book right now. I don't know the person at all, found it at random. It's called Algo Speak. And it is fascinating because it talks a lot about algorithms as we know them today, how they came about, TikTok's influence. But this is he's a licensed linguistics and all these types of things. It's how algorithms and keywords are changing words we're using in real life. And words we're using with each other. And so while that may not be a game changer to the business owners watching this now, it may impact their future hiring efforts. Or if you're looking to advertise to Gen Alpha, it's going to be really important to know some of those workarounds so that you're ranking in the keywords that they're using, not just the ones you thought applied.
I haven't heard Gen Alpha. So many things to learn. And this is so that
Yeah.
a whole side thing is one thing. I pay for Spotify, and most books that you want on audio is free on Spotify. I don't know if you know that. But I figured this another AI trick yesterday is you can create your own playlists, which I know in Spotify, but it'll do an AI. So I told it there's three playlists I listen to often. And I said, combine those three and make one. And then there's an XM channel I like and a Pandora channel I like. And I said, try create a playlist based on those. I'm like, oh, this is easy because now I don't have to listen to Pandora commercials.
Yeah, anything you imagine, just ask. If there's a single question we have these days, ask AI. And if it doesn't have the answer, ask if you could ask it differently to get a different answer, right? Curiosity. That's it. Click
Love
buttons,
it.
curiosity, ask questions. That's the pro tip.
Yeah. So important. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything. And if you're listening to this in real time and you're local to the Reston, Northern Virginia area, Madeline's going to be live in person for the Why Not Today Connects luncheon on August 28th. And it's a Thursday. So thank you, Madeline, for sharing, and everybody's for watching or listening. Thanks for joining the Why Not Today podcast, your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. If you're ready to take the next step, reach out to me at whynottodaymovement.com. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action. And I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. So if this episode spoke to you, share with a friend. Remember, you don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to take the next brave step. And why not today? Thanks, Madeline.
Yes.
All right, now I have to turn it off. I'm not doing a good job with this here. We're going to still be here because I'm trying to stop the recording and it's not showing up. All right. This is in real time. I know it's not. I had AI on. All right. We're leaving now. Bye.